Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So, likewise, ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Even at the doors. Interesting idea. Next verse says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Let's spend a little time talking about, first of all, the fig tree, and secondly, the statement that has to do with this generation. This generation shall not pass away. You know, first, I think we should settle one question, and that is, what's the fig tree? Well, the fig tree is symbolic of national Israel. Now, the olive, universally throughout the Bible, represents the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Ruach HaKodesh. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God moving through the world in ways that are difficult for us to comprehend. But the fig tree, well, that's an easy one. In Jeremiah 24, 5 through 7, we read these words. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them back again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down. And I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. There shall be my people. I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And so here Jeremiah, the prophet, depicts Israel as figs. Like these good figs, he says. And these figs are going to be brought back into Israel and replanted in the last days. Well, what do you get when you plant figs? You get fig trees. Well, this is precisely what Jesus was talking about in the Olivet Discourse. The planting of the fig tree associated with the phrase last generation or this generation, which we think of as the final generation. When was the fig tree planted? Well, in 1878, the first Jews came back to Israel. A small group, a very, very few of them, in 1878 came back and planted, if you will, a small city, which became known as Petah Tikva. A few years later, in 1897, the first Zionist Congress was convened in Basel, Switzerland. And you know the history there. It began a movement which culminated 50 years later when in 1947 the United Nations decreed statehood legitimate for Israel. The Israelis under world, the view of the world became a legitimate body, if you will, and could be formed into a state, which they were on May 14th, 1948. You know, there's a fascinating sidelight to this. Luke repeats Jesus' words in Luke 21:29, 30, 31, and 32. And he says, and he spake unto them a parable, saying, behold, the fig tree and all the trees. And then in Luke 21:29 and following, we have the general scheme or outline of what we just read in Matthew. But Luke's version says, behold the fig tree and all the trees. Well, if the fig tree is Israel, all those other trees must be other nations. And it's kind of fascinating that in 1945, representatives from 50 nations met in San Francisco. And it was called the United Nations Conference on International Cooperation. And we can state that those 50 nations formed the core group of the United Nations. By 1948, the number of nations in the world had risen to 58. By 1960, the number grew to 99. By 1970, the number grew to 127. By 1980, it had boomed up to 154. And then in 1990, 159. Today, the United Nations represents 192 nations. So, as you can see, in the last 50 years or so, there's been an absolute explosion in the number of nations on planet Earth. And that's just exactly what Jesus said as recorded by Luke. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. And the idea here is that these trees are seen as shooting forth. Luke 21:30 says, when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. This is fascinating to me because the sign of the last generation, according to Jesus, was to be not only the budding of the fig tree, but also the explosive growth, shooting forth of all of the other trees, those other nations. And this brings me then to the question that we asked a moment ago, the last generation. You know, Jesus once spoke to a group of people near the beginning of his public ministry, and he said, he used this phrase, he said, the harvest is the end of the world. And he was talking about planting, and he was talking about harvest, and talking about the seasonal cycles. And he just made the statement in Matthew 13:39, the harvest is the end of the world. Or to state it another way, the harvest is the end of the age. What age would we be talking about? Well, we'd be talking about the age when the gospel goes forth throughout all the world. And when that gospel has done the work that is deemed necessary for it to have completed, then will come the end. And we find that in so many different places in Scripture. But now I'm going to talk about the generation. Remember the fig tree generation that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24. And I want to go back now, early in the Bible, back in Deuteronomy 29, 21, and 22. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law, so that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sicknesses which the Lord hath laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that is not sown or beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboiim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath, even all the nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this land? And what's being said here is that there will be a future generation which will look at Israel in its desolation, and they'll ask the question, what have the people of Israel done to deserve all this desolation? But I want to go back to that phrase in Deuteronomy 29:22, so that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, they're the ones who are going to look at the desolation of the Middle East and ask this question, what in the world did Israel do to deserve this? Well, we've seen the beginning of that going all the way back to the 19th century. A number of traveled into Israel, and they just saw desolation. No trees, swamps, deserts, nothing. And then, of course, after the Jews returned to the land, beginning with the first Zionist Congress in 1897, the statehood in 1948, and so forth, then Israel began to blossom. That generation witnessed the blossoming of Israel. It's called in Deuteronomy 29:22, the generation to come. Now here's the fascinating thing. The Hebrew expression, Hador Ha'acharon, that's translated the generation to come, really and truly means the last generation. And so it could be read this way, Deuteronomy 29:22, so that the last generation of your children that rise up after you, and the stranger that comes from a far land and so forth to the end of that prophecy. Speaking of the last generation, this would be the very same generation about which Jesus spoke in Matthew 24, the fig tree generation. Now here's the fascinating thing, and as we continue this discussion today, I want to point out how often this phrase occurs in the Old Testament. In the Hebrew, it's Hador Ha'acharon, which translates into English as, literally, the last generation. And it's really noteworthy when you see this, how apropos the phrase is when it's used in the Bible. For example, in Psalm 48. Psalm 48 is just an amazing psalm. It begins, "Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised in the city of our God, the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king." And so Psalm 48 begins praising Mount Zion and, of course, the city of Jerusalem. As you go through this psalm, you discover that it's a prophecy, and it's prophesying the nations of the earth observing Jerusalem in the time of the regathering of Israel. Now, we saw that in the last century, and we saw the acceleration of it after the Holocaust, World War II, and going into statehood in 1948, and then in a series of wars after that, we've seen the accelerating growth of national Israel. Psalm 48 basically is a series of instructions telling the citizens of Latter-day Israel, go around Jerusalem, take a census, measure the city, survey the city, look at the places, the foundations of Jerusalem with an idea toward rebuilding Jerusalem. Verse 13 of Psalm 48 says, "Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following." In other words, when you come back to the land, measure all of those places that are now in ruins and take a survey, if you will, an archaeological survey, that you may tell it to the generation following. Well, guess what that phrase is? It's Hador Ha'acharon, that you may tell it to the last generation. Wow. We're talking about the sense in which this phrase occurs. In Matthew 24:34, where Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." And essentially we're trying to define this generation as it occurs in Scripture by looking at the historical precedent, that is the use of this phrase, this turn of phrase, as it appears in the Old Testament. Psalm 78 is a prophetic psalm. And how do I know that? Well, it says that it's a prophetic psalm. It opens, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us." Now, every time you see this phrase, dark sayings or dark utterances or the term dark used as an idea expressing a certain thought, you're looking at prophecy. A dark saying is a prophecy that is embedded in very careful wording, and so you have to examine it in depth to find out what it means. Right after these words in Psalm 78, we have these words, and I'm going to read verses 4, 5, and 6. "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he hath established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, so that the generation to come might know them, even the children about or which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. There's Psalm 78. By its own wording, it declares itself to be a prophecy, and it declares itself to be a prophecy concerning the generation to come, which phrase, by the way, is used twice in this psalm, in verse 4 and again in verse 6. These prophecies, these dark sayings, in verse 4 it says, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. Then down in verse 6, that the generation to come might know them. And it's speaking of this latter generation, because it says, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. So generationally speaking, this generation to come is going to speak the words of the dark sayings, that is, of Bible prophecy. And these dark sayings remain dark without the leading of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the idea, the intrinsic idea of understanding Bible prophecy is that you have to be led of the Lord, that is, by the influence of the Holy Spirit, in order to understand the prophecies of the generation to come. Again, the phrase is used twice here in Psalm 78, and it comes from that Hebrew expression that we talked about a minute ago, Hador HaAcharon, the generation to come, the last generation. Acharon, the last word in that little phrase, means the hindmost, the tail end, if you will, in a succession of events. And so when you put it in this phrase, the generation to come, it really is saying the last generation. Psalm 78. Now, this is fascinating to me because it just totally removes the mystery that we associate with the last generation. When we ask the question that we ask at the beginning of this program, are we living in the last generation? One of the ways we know that we're living in the last generation is that we have seen the restoration of Zion. And we literally have. The Zionist movement occupied the entire 20th century, beginning in 1897, going through two world wars, the Holocaust, the regathering of the people after World War II, statehood in 1948, as we have already mentioned, and then moving forward. Now let's go forward in the Psalms, from Psalm 78 to Psalm 102. And Psalm 102 is interesting. It's called a prayer of the afflicted, when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before God. And then begins verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear to me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. And as we read through this psalm, it appears to be pointing toward latter-day events when Israel has been regathered into the land and yet is in some difficulty and is praying for help from the Lord. Now, as you move all the way down through this psalm, and we don't have time on today's program to read the whole thing, the prayer that is begun as Psalm 102 opens is continued. And I'm going to start again in verse 17. Where it says, he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. So we have here a prayer and a prophecy in Psalm 102. And as you come to the end of it, it says, this shall be written for the generation to come. That's the way the King James Bible has it. Well, it would be hard to find a prophecy as distinct and specific as this one, because it enumerates the difficulties of the last days when Israel is in trouble. It asks for the Lord's help. And then it says, this shall be written for the generation to come. And here we have a slight variation in that Hebrew phrase. In this case, it says, L'dor acharon, for the generation to come. Except we already have established that acharon means the last in a series. And so really what it's saying is this prophecy, this psalm, which is a prophecy, is going to be written for the last generation. And the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. This very, very distinct prophecy, I think, applies directly to the generation spoken of by Jesus when he said, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. He was speaking of the generation of the fig tree,